There's no free lunch when it comes to investing. But what about a podcast that delivers educational content on investing, financial planning, items of interest, and even the odd wacky topic? Welcome to the Free Lunch Podcast, hosted by Canvas Wealth. Free Lunch will bring listeners the team's vast knowledge and experience in dealing with uncertainty. Learn more and subscribe today at canvaswealth.ca.
Welcome back to the Free Lunch Podcast with Greg and Colin for a change.
Hey.
Big change, right?
It is very different than the last one.
I was wondering if I should say Colin and Greg, and that would make it different.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just change up the order.
When you're the one normally does the intro, so you should say your name first. I mean, you deserve it. You've earned it.
This is a meritocracy, Greg. Okay. You have to earn it. Yeah.
All right.
So I think last time we talked about stuff.
Yep, we did.
Right? We typically talk about different stuff.
Yeah.
Today we're going to, it might be a bit of a shorter episode, but we're going to talk about private credit. And I guess where this is coming from is that there's been a lot of news about private credit. There's been a lot of private credit funds that have gated their funds recently.
Yep.
Meaning that investors can't get their money back currently.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And private credit was always sold as this idea of this illiquidity premium, where you could benefit from the illiquid nature of it by receiving excess returns.
Yes, exactly.
How's that working out, Greg?
Well, maybe not so good. It's one of those things that often the reality does not live up to the hype.
Yeah, so we want to talk about this, what it is, talk about what private credit is, why it exploded, the hype versus reality, certain risks, and what's happening now.
Yeah.
And maybe a direct comparison to high yield bonds.
Sure.
Right? You want to take this?
Yeah. Time? So what is private credit? I mean, at its basic core, private credit is pretty simple. It's just non-bank lending. So instead of borrowing from a bank or issuing bonds in public markets, companies borrow from private funds or pension funds or insurance companies. And these loans are typically from mid-sized companies. They're used for acquisitions or growth, often structured with floating interest rates. And so when rates rise, the income, meaning the interest that these companies pay on their loans, rise too.
Mm-hmm.
So you can basically think of it, private credit as just Wall Street replacing the bank as the lender.
Right. Which is important because, listen, when we launched Canvas Wealth, we had to take out private credit.
Yep.
We had to borrow from a private lender.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we didn't have a corporate history that
right.
we could go to a traditional bank and receive funds.
Yeah.
So it's there for a reason, yeah. But you obviously pay more for private credit
yes.
than you do if you went to one of the big five banks, right?
Exactly. A lot of this growth came after the financial crisis, what we call now the GFC, the global financial crisis.
Yeah.
And regulations really limited bank lending risk. You know, lots of banks, either by regulation or just by their own risk management, decided to cut back on lending. And so private lenders stepped in to fill that gap. And secondly, investors needed yield because if you recall back in those days post the global financial crisis, bonds paid very little. I mean, interest rates were extremely low.
Yeah.
And bonds paid very little for years, not just a couple of years, but for a long, long time. You know, now also private equity demand, lots of private equity firms needed financing for deals. And so private credit became their primary funding source. And so it's now a pretty important part of the overall financial system. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about the hype. So basically, when you look at how private credit is often marketed, it's talked about like equity-like returns with bond-like risk. Stable income with low volatility, senior secured loans of these particular companies, which are seen as being safer,
mm-hmm.
and less volatility because it's not publicly traded. And with all of these things, there is some truth, but when you look at the full picture, there's a little bit of nuance there that shows up in the reality of things.
Is this where you hear things like low vol and liquid alt and things like that?
Yeah. Yeah, and so let's talk about that. I mean, one of the reasons why it's marketed as low volatility is because it's not priced every day, you know, and the valuations are not, marked to market every day. They're more based on models. So you have what looks like a smoother returns, but what that does is it just masks the underlying volatility because if these loans were marked to market, mm-hmm. this means priced daily, you'd see the same volatility or more than you would out of the normal bond markets. Now, there's some real advantages to private credit, meaning things like higher yields or some of the loan structures might be a little bit more customized. And sometimes you might even get stronger covenants, meaning better collateral are for those loans. But at the same time, there's some real drawbacks. One is the high fees. So very often you might see some of those excess returns get eaten up by fees.
Yeah.
There's limited transparency, meaning you just can't actually see what's going on with those loans, and limited liquidity. You know, in certain situations, you might not be able to get out of your private credit investments the way you would out of a publicly traded investment vehicle.
I know the world's largest bond manager, to remain unnamed in this podcast.
Yes.
I came out with some private credit strategies where they were lending money and using, you know, commercial airplanes as collateral.
Yep.
And saying, well, you know, we've got the plane,
mm-hmm.
right? So if anything happens, we just take the plane.
Yeah.
But I guess I think about it as like, well, how easy is it to flip that plane if you need to get your cash?
Exactly.
Right? Like, I don't know how much a 737 costs, but I think it's a lot.
For sure. You know, and it probably is good to get that kind of collateral, but it's not still not a guarantee that you're going to get your money back or quickly.
Yeah. Have you bought a 737?
Not lately.
No?
No.
Just a smaller jet?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. What about the risks?
Well, let's talk about some of them. I mentioned illiquidity. You can't easily sell those investments. And we've seen that, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more a bit further on about how when there's great demand, all of a sudden it's not easy to unload those loans, and therefore you might be locked into that investment even if you want to get your cash out. The opacity, it's not easy to see what the valuations are. So prices are basically estimated. They're not market-driven, and so actual losses may show up later than you expect. Credit quality, you know, can weaken where there might be higher leverage or lower interest coverage from the borrowers that you've lent money to, and you might get more payment-in-kind interest, meaning you're not actually getting cash interest, you're just getting more loans. And so these are some of the things you very often will see late in the cycle. You rising defaults, you know, so defaults can be increasing. Right now they're increasing. They're still manageable, but trending higher. And that's always a risk anytime you're investing in bonds. Most people invest in bonds for some safety relative to stocks. And as defaults increase, then that safety goes away.
Well, especially depending on where you're in the capital structure.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what happened in the global financial crisis or the GFC, as you call it, which was a BFD. Right?
It was.
Was that you had these securities that were really low in the capital structure.
Yeah.
Right? So the senior debt of a company probably was fine.
Yeah.
But everything below it was probably worth zero.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. Okay. Refinancing risk. I mean, a lot of the loans that were made when interest rates were incredibly low would now face higher refinancing costs, and that can add extra risk. Again, liquidity mismatch. Some funds offer redemptions, but they hold illiquid assets, which makes it very difficult if there's a strong demand for redemptions.
Yeah.
And lastly, there's system-related connections, you know, so private credit can be tied to pensions, insurers, and the broader system. Not likely a 2008 crisis trigger like we saw with bad mortgage loans and things, but it could certainly amplify the stress.
Yeah.
So
what's happening now?
Well, we're starting to see some cracks. You see a lot of news about private credit, you know, and this is one of those things that nobody knows much about it or hears much about it until there's a problem. So you're starting to see some cracks in the market, rising redemptions in some of the large funds. Non-performing loans are starting to increase, and investor demand is cooling in certain areas, all at the same time that defaults are creeping up. Underwriting standards are being looked at a lot more carefully, and deal structures are getting more and more complex.
Sounds a lot like the precursor to the global financial crisis, actually, right? Yeah. You know, when you think of non-performing loans, well, that's just mortgages that aren't being paid, right? You talk about defaults, well, that's pretty straightforward.
Yep.
Remember the underwriting standards during the GFC?
Pretty low.
Pretty low.
Ninja loans.
No income, no job or asset required to get a mortgage.
Exactly.
You know? So kind of, and complex deals because you had, you know, introductory interest rates and then they would jump quite a bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So kind of similar.
It is. Yeah, for sure. And what you're seeing is the market is kind of splitting into two kind of areas. One where the large managers are are continuing to be strong, whereas some of the smaller players are starting to struggle.
Yeah.
You know, so one thing I wanted to do is just to talk a little bit about private credit versus high yield bonds, because high yield bonds are part of a public, you know, a public asset class where you can actually invest in high yield bonds. And the thing about high yield bonds is they're just typically loans from companies with lower credit ratings. So typically anything under a triple B credit rating is considered high yield bond.
Also known as
junk bonds. And so a lot of people will think of private credit as being similar to junk bonds. And that's not necessarily the case.
I don't think it's fair to call it junk bonds.
No.
I mean, high yield, it's kind of like when people who are anti-oil sands call it the tar sands.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just meant to draw a response.
It's strictly a description of the credit quality of the companies that are borrowing money.
Yeah, like if you have a double B rated company
and
they bail out a triple B rated company, like what happened in the global financial crisis, is it fair to call that company a junk?
Probably not. And if you look at, there's a lot of companies that just are very big companies, but they might be in a volatile sector like some oil and gas companies, which might have double B credit ratings because of the volatility of their business.
Yeah.
But they're very strong companies. And so you do get a yield premium from private credit, but the premium compensates for other risks. The first one being liquidity, which we've talked about. High yield bonds, when they're traded publicly through either a mutual fund or an ETF, you get daily liquidity. You can be in and out of them, you know, and with one day, whereas private credit is illiquid.
Well, not always, but like maybe it's a 30-day redemption.
Sure. Yeah. So with bonds, you can sell anytime. With private credit, you're locked in with certain redemption windows that you can take advantage of.
Yeah.
Transparency, high yield bonds, because they're publicly traded, they have transparent pricing. They're priced daily. Private credit, it's basically model-based valuations. And so bond markets can give you real-time signals as to what's going on and, you know, in it with interest rates, et cetera. And private credit can actually lag that reality.
Sure.
Volatility, high yield bonds can be visibly volatile. Private credit can appear stable, but that can be misleading, as we said earlier, because the volatility is just hidden or delayed.
Right.
It's there, you just don't see it. And credit quality, this one is a little bit nuanced as well. High yield bonds have a much broader market, and it's often larger companies that participate in that space. Whereas private credit, you might see more smaller, more leveraged companies. Private credit loans are often senior secured, but the borrowers can be riskier.
So I guess in English, that just means that in that company's capital structure, the bonds that they've issued are senior to that company, but the company is just a riskier company.
That's right. It could be, for sure.
Yeah.
So when you look at the structure of the bonds themselves, private credit can actually have stronger covenants because the private credit lenders are in first position. Whereas high yield bonds, you see a more standardized structure and protections, sometimes weaker protections, but you know, when you look at private credit lately, the covenant quality has been declining. Yet in talking about fees, you know, with high yield bonds, you can get into low cost ETFs or funds, and so your fees are actually lower, whereas private credit tends to have high management and performance fees, much like a hedge fund.
Yeah.
And so this can seriously reduce net returns.
Although there are private credit ETFs. So you can access those and get daily liquidity in a different way.
Yeah, and that's a sign of a growing market, you know, when investments that typically had only been available to large, sophisticated investors are now made available to the general public.
Finally available to the retail investors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the things that'll be significantly different is just behavior in a downturn. High yield bonds, the prices will fall quickly as they did during, you know, the credit crisis. The losses are pretty visible and the markets reprice, you know, these changes very rapidly.
Yeah.
Whereas in private credit, the prices adjust much more slowly because of the lower transparency and the losses may show up later. And as we said, liquidity can disappear.
Yeah.
So the basic difference overall, high yield bonds are marked to market, just meaning every day you're seeing a real price. Private credit is marked to model. And so you don't really know what the exact price is.
I think of this like your house, you know, there, like when you think of your assets that you own, be it a house, some stocks, some bonds, et cetera.
Yeah.
I mean, you always know what the value of your stocks are because they're priced throughout the day, every trading day of the year,
yeah,
right? Like you can just go online and say, okay, this is how much I have.
Yep.
But your house doesn't have a ticker on the front of it that tells you exactly how much it's worth on a minute-by-minute basis,
exactly.
Right?
Yep.
The only time you find out how much your house is worth is when you go to sell it.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And that's one of the things we actually, even though there's daily transparency with the stocks and bonds, with the kind of things that we typically do, we usually advise people don't pay attention to the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to look at it once a month, you know, when statements come out or whatever, that's great. But don't aggravate yourself with it. It's kind of like watching your weight day to day.
Why are you bringing up my weight?
Well, when I say your weight, I mean a person's weight, not yours specifically. Although if you want to post your daily weight on the website, you know, feel free.
No, thank you.
So listen, a big debate. There's two competing narratives right now. The bear case, risks are being underestimated. Valuations are artificially smooth. Borrowers are stretched and a downturn could expose some significant losses. Whereas, you know, bull case, you know, the supporters, loans are senior and secured. The system is less fragile than banks before 2008. Mm-hmm. The risks are contained and what's going on right now is a normal cycle, not a crisis. And the reality is probably somewhere in the middle.
Sure.
So listen, how should you think about private credit? One of the things, you know, and people may say, well, gee, I never even heard about private credit or why are we talking about this? Because typically the people that you deal with and that I would deal with in the past would not be investors in private credit. But I think it's important because you hear a lot about it right now. If you happen to turn on any financial news source, whether it's CNBC or BNN or mm-hmm. just looking at the financial papers, there'll be lots of discussion about private credit. And I think it's important that, you know, people at least understand what it is so they know what they're listening to,
yeah.
even if it's not totally relevant to their own investment situation.
Yeah.
So final takeaway, private credit is a real and becoming more important asset class and is becoming a major part of modern finance and investments. But it's also late in the cycle, starting to show some early signs of stress and certainly more complex than it appears.
And let's be fair, not all private credit is equal.
Nope.
Right? I mean, we do in our pool that we manage have yep. a small sleeve of private credit.
Yep.
It's very specific. It's linked to a very specific asset class in Europe.
Yep.
That just historically has never had a default.
Yeah.
And that's not the same thing as saying it's the same as other forms of private credit.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I had this discussion over lunch with a client yesterday, actually, because we were talking about private credit. And he said, you know, I've made a lot of money in private credit over the years. Like I've lent money to people for mortgages
yep.
at higher rates mm-hmm. That they couldn't get that borrowing from the bank.
Sure.
And there's no disputing that.
Yep.
Right. The problem is that what we're talking about is these big private credit funds that are gating their funds now.
Yes.
And so that illiquidity premium that they're banking on
yep.
is showing through in the form of illiquidity.
You can actually think of it as a hedge fund that invests in loans from individual companies,
yeah.
private loans. And yeah, and that's exactly. And as you say, very often second mortgage lenders are exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're sources of private credit.
Yeah.
To homeowners.
Yeah.
So
are you going to put a ticker on the front of your house?
I don't think so.
No, you don't want to see the value?
I don't think I want to know.
Especially if you've done things like a reno, right?
Exactly.
Like, well, I put a new bathroom and kitchen yeah. in. Why didn't my value go up?
Like, that's going to help.
Yeah. All right.
Well, okay. We've bitten that that subject now.
Well, only because we have to go do other things now.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Next time.
Thank you for listening to the Free Lunch Podcast hosted by Canvas Wealth. To subscribe to this podcast to get more realistic insights on investing or to connect with one of our talented partners, please head on over to canvaswealth.ca. We'll see you next time on the Free Lunch Podcast.
Financial planning services are offered through Canvas Wealth. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth Partners, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, and exempt market dealer. Canvas is an owner and partner in the Q Wealth Partnership. The information discussed in this show, including any opinion, is based on various sources believed to be reliable, but subject to change. The opinions expressed in this show are opinions of the individuals, and they have not been approved by, and are not necessarily those of, Q Wealth as a firm. This is not legal, accounting, tax, or investment advice, and should not be relied as such.